Whatever it is, whatever circumstance. Folk, let me tell you something. All this bound in the wonderful love and grace of God, we're going to discover in just a moment, my friends, that this church is a wonderful church because it's a wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ at the head.
Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, Dr. Don is taking us to an ally. We all could use an ally, someone on our side. And this ally is the greatest ally of the home. That's his message, the greatest ally of the home. Over the next couple of days, we'll be talking about this particular subject and how God's Word speaks to that. As we do so, Dr. Don wants us to remind you that we're here for you. We're connecting right now on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or meeting together online at theencouragingword.org. Now, Dr. Wilton.
Today I'm going to be speaking to you on a very special subject that I'll tell you in just a moment. But it has to do with the gathering of God's people like this. Now, I'm going to be preaching a mini series on when God's people pray. And the Lord is really speaking to my heart about that already. I don't often tell people this, but I left home at shortly after 3:30 this morning. I know a lot of people get up early, but that's early for me as well. I was in the hospital very early this morning. And I can tell you something that you all know very well indeed, that there are many people who need very special prayer. We have the victims of an untold disaster overseas. We've got our troops in harm's way. But all of us identify with that. Literally thousands worshiping right now through the encouraging word that need prayer. Those of us here in this beautiful sanctuary, there are many of us who need prayer. Many, many people who need a special word. They need to hear a special word from God. There is something uniquely significant about the gathering of God's people together. I want to speak to you this morning about the greatest ally of the home. That's our subject. The greatest ally of the home. We're living in turbulent times. They are not particular to this time, and they are not unusual in life. The world has always known turbulent times. We just happen to be the ones living during this time. But there have always been catastrophes for generations and centuries. People have suffered from pestilences, from every kind of disease and from every circumstance that one could possibly conceive or imagine. I don't know what it must have been like to have lived through the Dark Ages, for example, where literally hundreds of thousands of people were wiped out by horrid things that swept across Europe and across other parts of the world. The AIDS epidemic, which is sweeping across Africa, United States, across Asia. We could go on and on. But right here in Spartanburg, in our region, in this beautiful land of ours from sea to shining sea, I'm going to just submit to you today, be sure to be in church on Sunday. We have two wonderful institutions. I believe with all my heart that God gave to us our families, our homes, whether you be single, whether you have children, whether you're married, whatever your circumstance, your situation in life. All of us can identify with that place that we call home, that roof over our heads, that refuge, the place that we can retreat to, place where we can be ourselves, as it were. But I'm going to submit to you today that if we don't understand God's Word, we will never understand the significance of what God intended the gathering of God's people in the church to be. I believe with all my heart that this is the greatest ally of the home. You cannot lead a successful life without being partnered together in the church of the living God. You cannot have hope for the future without the gathering of God's people through the church. You cannot bring up your children in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ separated from the assembling of God's people together. You cannot do it. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Let me say a few words, if I might beg your pardon, before we read this passage together. Because this is one of the most misinterpreted passages in all of Scripture. Entire denominations have been built on misrepresenting what Jesus Christ did and ordained and authorized at this juncture concerning the church. I want to just remind you before we read about it, and you'll be familiar with it, you can just imagine how in this particular instance that the Lord Jesus gathered his disciples around and he asked them a very good question. He said, "Gentlemen, who do people generally say that I am?" Now, I think we could ask that question today. In fact, you can hear it on television. They're gathering people from every walk of life. They're trying to get public opinion polls taken about who this God is, about why God, whoever he is, and by whatever definition, would allow something like this to happen through this horrid tsunami that hit the coasts of Asia. The public opinion polls are out. Well, Jesus said, "Look, just let me take a very quick census here. I'd like to know from you, who do people say that I am?" And of course, the disciples looked at him and said, "Well, you know, some people say you're Elijah, and some people say you're John the Baptist, and some people say you're this, and some people say you're that." And then the Lord Jesus looked right directly into their hearts. He picked on Peter, and I'm going to tell you why he did in just a moment. And he looked into the heart of one of them, and he said, "But who do you say that I am?" By the way, I've got a wonderful announcement for you. My relationship with Jesus Christ is a personal relationship. Jesus Christ died for me, but he died for everyone just like me. We are the whosoevers, but he died for me. It's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus would love me to that extent. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, looked into the heart of the disciples and he said, "Who do you say?" Forget about public opinion polls for a moment. I know what the talk is. I've read the editorials. I've watched Larry King live. I want to know, who do you say that I am? And Peter looked, and we know about the great confession, because he looked into the face of our Lord and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now watch this, folks. It was at that juncture and based upon that confession that Jesus then said what he said. He said, "Peter, I want you to know that I'm going to build my church around you. I'm going to give you permission. I'm going to explain this all in a minute because it's absolutely marvelous. I'm going to allow you to partner in what I consider," Jesus said, "the institution of the New Testament church, which is about the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to build my church, of which you are going to be given my permission to be a functional part of it." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And then later on, and we're going to get this, I don't want to jump the gun, he's going to say some things about this church. He's going to say, it is through the church, through those who have confessed Jesus Christ, gathering together in the fellowship of the Spirit of the living God, that I will give the authority, number one, to bind things upon earth. Now, folks, listen, I'm going to come back to this. That little word there, bind, literally means to expressly forbid. Now, I'm going to make a confession to you today. I just happen to be a father, a husband. I want to tell you without any apology, and I'm going to say this a number of times, as a father, my friends, I have prayed many times that my sons and my daughter would grow up being forbidden to participate in the multiplicity of things that are going to destroy them. I make no apology today in the turbulent age in which we live. I forbid my children from being involved in things that are going to break them down and destroy their lives. And God says to me, because I am part of that confession, I have been given the authority to forbid these things from happening. And whatever is forbidden on this earth will be bound in heaven, because God said so. The greatest ally of the home. But then he also said, I'm going to give you the authority to loose. That word there, loose, doesn't mean to forbid, whereas bind means to forbid. To loose means to permit or to give permission. I want you to know, as a father, as a pastor in this great church, there are multitudes of things that I want to set loose. I want my children, I want our young people to have God's blessing and to be given permission to drink of the living water so they can grow up as strong, born-again believers, well and healthy and celebrating Jesus Christ. So you can do without the church, can you? Friends, in America today there is a mad feeding frenzy going on. There are Christian people everywhere springing up and saying, I don't want to do this with the church. I want to do this on my own. I want to create my own way. I want to do it according to my own way. God said, it is upon this rock that I will build my church. All right, let's read about it before I forget to read it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, I've been right there myself. Many of you have too. He asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father which is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Watch this, verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want to speak to you this morning from the Word of God about the greatest ally of the home. I am so deeply grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed my family and I to be a part of a church like this. We could not survive without our church, and neither can you. Why? Well, number one, because it is built on a solid foundation. God tells us this is His church. It's interesting here, folks, because this has been so misrepresented. In verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, I want to tell you that you are Peter. That word Peter, there is the word Petros, which literally means small or a fragment of. And then he turns, and I've stood at the very spot in Caesarea Philippi where he looks up at this massive rock. And he sees this huge rock and he uses it in illustration. And he says it is upon the rock. He was pointing not to the Petros, but to the Petra, the rock, the major, the one who is the authority. He was pointing to himself. Never did Jesus Christ look at Peter and say to him, Peter, you are the rock, and I'm going to build my church on you. Never did God tell Peter that Peter was going to become God, because he was not ever going to be God, excepting by the grace of God in Christ Jesus through his confession. But Jesus said, Peter, you little fragment of a rock, I'm giving you permission to become a part of the rock who is me. It is God Himself, the rock of your salvation. He said, I'm going to build my church on me. I am the rock, and I'm going to give you permission to partner with me in that endeavor. What an incredible thing for you and me to think about.
That is Dr. Don Wilton. We'll be back into that passage from Matthew in just a moment. But Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you that we're connecting and connecting you with resources. Not just this broadcast ministry, but every single day, Dr. Wilton sends out a wonderful email of daily encouragement. If you're interested, you can sign up on our website at theencouragingword.org, or you can text the word right now, daily, to 30500. Again, a single word, daily, to 30500. We'll connect you with us. We'll send you back a quick link, and by this time tomorrow, every single day, you'll receive a word of encouragement about God's word, God's encouraging word, in your email box. We'd love to put that in your hands. Again, just text daily to 30500 and we'll get that right back to you. Also, don't forget that tonight, Monday nights across the globe, Dr. Wilton's messages are presented on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. Now, that takes place at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time all across the globe. If you have friends across the country or around the world, we have folks listening and watching from everywhere from Egypt to the East Berlin. Just know that you can be a part of spreading the love of Jesus by telling someone about that broadcast. It's TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, tonight at 6:30. All the details are online at our website, theencouragingword.org. Or again, if you have any questions, give us a call, 866-899-WORD. We'll connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. Happy to talk, to listen, to pray, connect with great resources. That number is 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message, the greatest ally of the home with Dr. Don Wilton.
Gathering together, worshiping the Lord today, are hundreds of thousands of little fragments. You and I are but a fragment of God's grace, numbering as of the sand of the sea. Oh, so great is the love of God that God in Christ Jesus would have died for all these little fragments, and that God speaks to the fragments. And He picks each one of us up, these little small pieces, these broken, shattered lives. And He puts us together with the rock. And He says, I am going to enable you to become a part of the rock, which is my church. What a solid foundation. It's a remarkable statement. Our hearts have been broken as we've watched the news. Stories of survival and unmitigated grief that people have suffered. One story that gripped my heart was, you probably heard it too, we've heard many of this couple that were on the beach somewhere off Thailand or Sri Lanka, and these things started happening and they scrambled and they climbed up a rock face. And they got on top of this huge rock and they actually even took pictures that we've been looking at. Here's what God is saying about this solid foundation, folks. Listen to me. He's saying, I'm going to build my church on a solid foundation. When you stand on the rock, it doesn't matter what tsunamis come blowing through. It doesn't matter the hurt and the pain and the circumstances. It doesn't matter wave after wave and the hurricanes of life. When you stand upon the rock, I will build my church, and I'm going to take your little fragment of a life and I'm going to put it in the rock, because I am your salvation, and because of me, you will stand firm. Wow. Boy, I thank God for my church. Can't survive without your church. You say, how can this be seen even here at First Baptist Church? How can this be seen in your church? You can see it in this church through leaders God has raised up over generations. You can see it through the multitudes of faithful people God has used for generations. You can see it through the work God has done for generations, even here in this little one tiny little drop in the bucket of all humanity. There is something remarkable about this, the greatest ally of the home, the church of the living God. There is no substitute for the local New Testament church. Number one, it is built on a solid foundation. Number two, it is built with a certain future. I love this, because the Lord Jesus makes an unequivocal statement here in verse 18. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. That's future tense. When he spoke to Peter, that was just the beginning. That was the institution. That was the inauguration. That was an announcement that was made that was looking forward to the death of Jesus and to his glorious resurrection, because his church is the living bride of Christ. This is not a dead organism. This is Jesus Christ alive. This is the very fountainhead of the Godhead. And if we understand that it is the church that is built on a certain future, it carries, first of all, a divine promise. I love that. This is a divine promise. I didn't say it. Southern Baptists didn't say it. Catholics didn't say it. Methodists didn't say it. Episcopalians didn't say it. No preacher said it. Jesus said it. It is a divine promise, but it also carries a divine perspective. This certain future, it's got a divine perspective. It keeps our perspective in mind. What's our perspective in the church? This church that is built on a solid foundation, this church that is built with a certain future, it keeps us in perspective, because it tells us that whatever we do, we must have a total reliance on God at all times. This is the house of the Lord. I have wonderful people, and please don't misunderstand me. You can say this to me anytime. But I have wonderful people who come up to me and say, "Boy, Dr. Wilton, we love your church." And I thank you for that. I do too. But it's not my church. It's the Lord's church. I want you to hear me. There's nothing wrong with that. I go to people. Because this has been built with a certain future on a solid foundation, is that there is nothing more important for us to do than to know and to do the will of God. That's why many churches are in trouble today, folks. Next week, I'm telling you, next week is going to be one of the most incredibly significant messages I've ever preached in this church for this congregation. It'll boggle your mind what God has done. I'm going to show you things that you and I have never seen. I've never seen some of these things. We're going to put it right down there. Our ministries across the board are gathering stuff. It's going to be a remarkable time as we come together next week to worship the Lord just in this one place, as churches do all across the universe, the gathering together of God's people. And I want to tell you, folks, there's a world out there, and we learn from the world. We gather data from the world. We develop wisdom from the things that we learn. But when we understand these biblical truths, it's no wonder that you can never run a church on business principles. You cannot apply the principles of a business organization to the local church of God. You cannot do that, because this is the house of God. It is built on a solid foundation. It has a certain future. It gives to us God's divine promise, and it holds us in check with a divine perspective that everything that we do, we must rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ as it is expressed through his people. Number three, it is built with a wonderful fellowship. Now, I love this about the church, the greatest ally of the home. It is built with a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Number one, with Jesus Christ at the head. He's the head of this church. What is Jesus to this church? Well, he's the builder. He's the architect. He's the owner. He's the Lord. We left anything out? He's the head of this church. Now, by what virtue can we say that? He's the head of the church, my friend, this wonderful fellowship. Number one, because the church has been purchased by him, according to the book of Acts and chapter 20. We were purchased. We were bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus Christ. The church was purchased by him. Number two, Christ is the head because the church is one with him. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one with him. So not only is the church purchased by him, not only is the church one with him, but the church is identified with him. I love what Zechariah said. He said, "He who touches you touches the apple of his eye." I love that, don't you? That just tickles my liver, folks, to hear that. Because I'm a father. Because I've got children. You know when people start messing with your children or with your wife or people that you love, and you know your kind of hackles rise. And that's why, folks, we love each other and we protect one another. And we very quick to come to the defense and say, listen, you can say whatever you say, but don't you ever say that to my wife. Whatever it is, whatever circumstance. Folks, let me tell you something. All this bound in the wonderful love and grace of God, we're going to discover in just a moment, my friends, that this church is a wonderful church because it's a wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ at the head. And number two, with believers at the table. Now, just think about this for a moment, that we, the bride of Christ, are invited to take a seat at the feast table of the King.
Again, if the Lord has spoken to you and you would like to share what God's doing in your life with us, let us pray with you and for you at 866-899-9673 or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. You know, when we think about the enemy that is among us, Satan himself, that is a defeated enemy. He's already defeated. I want you to hear about this very special resource that's available right now online at theencouragingword.org.
Satan is alive and is on the move in the United States. He is actively engaged in all aspects of our government, in our educational systems, and in the lives of our children, the next generation. Never forget, Satan has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this victory enables us and the next generation of believers to stand victorious in the presence of the enemy, unwavering and unafraid. This month, as you give a gift of $20 or more to The Encouraging Word, you will receive a powerful message series by Dr. Don Wilton, Satan, the Defeated Enemy Among Us. Plus, you will receive a copy of Dr. Wilton's inspiring book, Defying the Odds, to help encourage you through all of life's challenges. Request this empowering resource set today as you support The Encouraging Word with your ministry gift. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Your generous support enables us to bring the uncompromised and life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ to where people are around the world.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name.
Our time's gone for today, but we'll be back tomorrow at the same time with the conclusion of this message, The Greatest Ally of the Home. I hope you'll join us. Between now and then, we can stay connected on our website at theencouragingword.org or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, and connect you with great resources here at The Encouraging Word.